We're going to continue our study in Genesis.
I'm surprised that men can be so happy one moment and so desperately unhappy the next. But it has been my experience that in this world, there are things that are going to make you unhappy, because we live in a fallen state. The things that are not going to go well with you, because all of mankind and all the world is in a fallen state. Now, I know I am quite aware that there are some people that you may be in this classroom, and if you are in advance, I apologize. But I am not going to be politically correct, but I will be a polite Christian. This lesson shows for us, is it entitled, Reckless Decisions. And I will assure you that everybody in here, saved, unsaved, have made some decisions was just flat ridiculous. Notice I didn't say reckless. Ridiculous. And anybody that says they haven't, well, you made a most obvious decision to lie about it. But the reason why you've made ridiculous decisions, I'm going to say because you had a good example. There are two people who had everything a man or a woman could ever want. A man and a woman called Adam and Eve. There ain't nothing that they were lacking. Oh, let me just recap here for a minute. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he spoke, and light came running at 186,000 miles per second. And he moved, the Spirit of God moved upon the earth, and the earth began to rotate on its axis. And he created potential and kinetic energy. And then he had a conversation with himself and said, "Let us make man." And he made man, he formed man out of the dust, out of the ground, the very ground that he had spoke into existence. He made man out of that ground. And he gave him dominion. He gave them dominion. What them you talking about? Oh, did I tell you that Adam, God says, look, he's not complete. I need to complete him. So he put him to sleep. He anesthetized him. Put him to sleep, performed surgery without a scalpel, went inside of him out, took Eve out, bought him to Adam, gave her rather to Adam as a gift. And they lived happily ever after. See, what I didn't tell you in my summary was that Adam was created, Eve was created as a free moral agent. That means that she had a will and that he had a will. And, you know, you can do your will no matter how you feel. Will, you're grown, you know, you exercise your will. But they had something else. They had dominion, Selby. They had dominion. They had authority over the earth. Somebody say authority. Because it's going to come into play here when I ask y'all a question. Oh, by the way, there'll be a series of tests today. Oh, okay. Now, got it going on. But before he bought Adam a woman, a wife, a helpmeet, he laid him out in a crib. Gorgeous. Got it made. And the only addition was Eve. Now, that should have been enough to make you live a long, happy life. Here's the issue. Not only did he have a nice place to live and a nice woman, he would live there forever with her. Ain't got to go nowhere. Ain't got to pay no bills. Secure no mortgages. That's bliss. But did I say he was a free moral agent with a will? And that she was a free moral agent with a will? Because as I approach chapter 3, I'm trying to figure out what happened. And ladies and gentlemen, don't think that you can say, well, I don't want to read that stuff about no follow that. I just skipped chapter 3. I don't even know why they're bringing that up. Matter of fact, that's what the international lesson did. They didn't even address it. But that's another story. We'll talk about that. But in chapter 3, it's the pivot book. Because if you read chapters 1 and 2 and then start reading about 4 through 11, you'll be saying, what in the world happened? But wait a minute, how do you get all this? You know, you go from total bliss, total happiness, we happy, we bees married, we got this thing down, to murder, mayhem, a larceny, all kinds of stuff from chapter 4 to 11. So you got to read chapter 3. And if you don't read chapter 3, you won't understand what's happening to you right now. Because that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at how your decisions have not changed very much from the garden. That we still make the same kinds of choices. Let's see. Let's just see if I'm right. Verse 1, if you would. Ooh, man, did two for me. Thanks. Verse 1 has a character that I didn't see, chapter 1 and 2. But I know it was there. He's called a serpent. Oh, yes, well, verse 8, he made serpents. He sure did. But this is a special serpent here. Because this is one that has been taken over by Satan himself. Verse 8, I don't want to hear this stuff. We don't even believe in the devil. Let me tell you one thing. You better believe in him. Because if you don't believe in him, and you really don't believe, you just think that you're going to live any kind of way, and when it's all over with, you're just going to just pass away peacefully. That's all there is to this life. There's a pitchfork in your future, okay? That's all I can say. Don't. You ain't got to believe it. I believe the word of God. The word of God says that the serpent was more subtle. And this serpent is the devil. And some of you may have had the question, how in the world did this devil get in the serpent? First of all, he's a spiritual being. And so all he needed was a body. A body that does not have the Spirit of God, though. But the devil is subtle. He's deceitful. He is a master of disguise. As a matter of fact, over at the Rock, they told me that they had a suspicion that he had maybe penetrated the class because it was a couple of folk we didn't know. He is deadly deceptive, and he'll make a fool out of you in a minute. He'll make folk who are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, he'll make a fool out of you. You know why? Because he can't do nothing else with you. He got in the body of that serpent because he can't get in the body of saved folk. Y'all better hear me. Because the devil can't make you do anything. Remember that. Say footnote. And he's very subtle. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, first of all, how are you going to let the devil tell you about something that God said? Oh, y'all ready to jump on the Eve now, huh? Well, tell me, how is it that you're going to let folk who don't know Christ tell you about your relationship with God, to tell you about your relationship with your man, and they unsaved and ain't got no man? I'm sorry, Steve.
Okay. I got to get my paycheck.
How you going to do that? But I got a more basic question, Harry. What in the world? I told you I was polite. Is the serpent doing in the garden? I just told you that Adam and Eve were created free moral agents and that they had dominion. That means that they, Eve and Adam, had dominion. They had authority over all, over everything. So in other words, the only way that serpent can get in that garden is Eve invited him in. Folks, that's a lesson in itself. If you want to look at an anatomy of a fall, you start inviting folk that don't need to be in your space. I told you last week, last week we left on the note that the reason why some of your marriages aren't working is because you didn't invite Jesus to the wedding. Once you get married, you got to keep the devil out your house, out of your space. And your son ain't got no business talking to him. Now, but the issue is, he grown. She got dominion. You tell the devil, excuse me, could you step on outside? Because I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Stop letting the world quote scripture to you. Now, let me tell you something, folks. This is how they create doubt. When you don't know the word of God, when you don't do no Bible study, when you don't do no personal study, when you don't do evangelism, when you don't do ministry teaching, and the church, you know, they've lost their minds, Steve. The church, the app that I'm working on, it's about discipleship. Because those men realize that at every opportunity, you need to be teaching folks stuff so that they know. So that when the world comes to them with some crazy psychobabble, some crazy psycho-emotive projection of their own will, you can refute that with the word of God. But she's listening. Doubt. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but what? Of the fruit of the
tree. God has said,
you
shall not eat
of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. I told you. See, y'all thought, he been too hard on Eve. And I don't want to have talking about scripture. She ain't misquoted no scripture. Can you read? Well, you better go read what God said. See, the thing about it, that's why we have evangelism classes, folks. Yeah, your last night to get, oh, nope, can't get in now. But you hurry up and get in next semester. Because you got to know this stuff. Because scripture twisting in 105, we have 12 weeks of identifying scripture twisting by cults. The devil is deceptive and cunning, and because in order to be crafty and cunning, you got to tell them some truth. Now, there's some truth. But I was brought up that if you mix truth with a lie, it's a lie. And this whole thing, Sister Marshall, is to set up doubt in your mind. And then she's going to come back with scripture. Nah, he ain't saying. He said that such and such, such and such. Watch the devil. You think he's going to stop because you got two Bible verses bumping up against one another? You think he's going to stop? Verse 3 says what? I mean, verse 4, I'm sorry.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
Contradict exactly what God said. See, they got you doubting. Then you just come up with the contradiction. You know why? But the only way they can make you doubt is if you listen to them. That's why, you know, matter of fact, the reason why they wanted to call security is because I said, I don't be hanging around with a whole bunch of folk who want to sit there and psychoanalyze the scripture and not believe it. If I'm amongst a bunch of folk who want to take scripture for what it is, debate it vigorously, but God ain't going to change the facts of the Bible for you. So there must be an agenda. See, the thing about it, folk think that they can take God's word, and if they get a couple of people in their little group to agree with what they say, like, there ain't no devil, don't worry about it. There ain't no hell. You know, see, the only people who believe that there ain't no hell are the people, the same people that think that it's going to be air conditioned. You know, it's crazy. The issue here, though, is that she misquotes scripture. He comes back and contradicts scripture. You know what he said? You ain't gonna die. God says one thing and the devil says another. What do you do? See, decision. You already made a decision to have these people in your space. You already made a decision to even listen to what they had to say. But now they come in and tell you that an essential, that's something that God has spoken out of his mouth. Here's what God said. You eat that fruit? You cancel Christmas. It was clear. He ain't pulled on it. And you can eat everything in here except that. And the devil comes and tells us, don't believe that. You believe that? That's why they laugh at y'all. They were laughing at y'all coming to Sunday school this morning. They laughing at, oh, look at him go. Oh, man. Don't he know it's raining on that side of Costco? He just washed it yesterday. You know? He running out there to that church, you know, to study something about Genesis. See, they read the narrative so they can question you while you're out there cutting lawn. Hey, you really believe that the devil was in the garden? Here's your response. What does the word say? And see, and that ain't even good enough because the devil knew what it said. But he wanted to make it sure that Eve doubted the word and that he was going to contradict the word to convince her that the word is wrong. Because the word came from God. The devil does not like God, folk. Don't think the devil is your friend. You're talking about you're a friend of God? The devil don't care nothing about you. He wants to make a fool out of you. And he's desperate because he realized for saved folk who stay prayed up and studied up, he can't make a fool out of. Oh, that's the only reason you need to stay in the word. Is so that the devil doesn't make a fool out of you like he's about to do her, so that you don't go out and make a decision. Because choices have consequences. Oh, they talk about election have consequences. Choices have consequences. You choose this day what you're going to do. It's a definite decision of the will that you've made this. Some of you, and you're sitting there and talking about, well, I don't see how she could do that. Oh, let me tell you about some of your choices. You let some people into your space that didn't have no business being there. You let somebody blow in your ear that shouldn't have blown in your ear. Now, some of you, I know some of you ladies, if you had known what you know now, you'd have left him right there on his mama's couch. Some of you guys, if you knew what you know now, her daddy could keep her hand. But you made a choice. In case some of you didn't get it, how she misquoted scripture, God ain't said nothing about touching it. But a little lie is. Would somebody agree with me? Would the Sunday school class just say, because Terry, I need it. Because I'm suffering. Because we've come to a time where people think that they can parse truth and get away with it. That a lie is not a lie. The truth is not the truth. And all you got to do, but you got to know it. You got to know for yourself. You can't be going out there talking about, well, I think, I feel. I don't care about how you feel. What do you think? What do you know? And when you know it, you act on it. But you know what? Here's what we do. We get all emotional about stuff we don't know nothing about, that we only know a little bit about. But I tell you what, I can't tell you. I'm gonna be a little transparent. Hey, I can't tell you what happened to me 50 years ago on a certain night. I can't on a certain night that you may come up with. But I tell you what, 50 years ago, 55 years ago, 60 years ago, that's how far I go back. I got a memory. And I can tell you. But you might pick a night that I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. But if I tell you today that I was a schoolboy, that I loved the Lord, and I just, oh, you know, I had my studies, and I remember in my junior year, I tried to get a group together to keep them from drinking Boone's Farm. If I tell y'all that, if I ever tell y'all that, you count me a liar and a heretic and dismiss me. Because let me tell you, we all been there. But the issue is, I'm not worried about where you've been, because God can erase every mistake you ever made. But where are you today? Where are you going to stand today? What you going to say? See, what? That's what always happens. You're trying to avoid something that nothing anybody would have said. Hey, schoolboy prank. Yeah, doesn't look good, but shouldn't have done it. But you want to lie to me today? That's what the devil was doing to Eve. That's exactly what he was doing. And God didn't say that. I was listening right when you told Adam. He didn't say that. He said, you won't die. Choice. For God, what? See, he got you to doubt. He gave you some bad scripture. And then he gives you a poor interpretation of the scripture. First of all, it's bad scripture. And then he gives you a poor I tell you, there's some folk you can't hang around with. He tells this child, Eve, he just don't want you to be like him. The one who made you, who knows all about you, knows every thought, every hair on your head, every time you move, he's afraid that you're going to overthrow him. Because if you know what he know, he'll be with you. I mean, you'll overthrow him, brother. Don't be misled, folk. Don't let the world tell you that the only reason you go down to that church and they say, don't do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do that, is because God wants to take something from you. God created you. You can't compete with God. Nobody greater. Searched all over. Nobody greater. Went down to the red light district, couldn't find nobody better. Went over to the cathedral over at the Pope's place, couldn't find not one. God ain't trying to compete with us. And he certainly didn't form Adam and Eve to compete with them. That makes no sense. He said, but the moment you take of that tree, God knows that you will become like him, and he don't like that. Now, I want you to read the next verse for me.
And she took of the fruit thereof and gave
doubt, you don't know the scripture, misinterpretation of the scripture. And so the woman looked. Y'all didn't see that. Nay, they didn't see it. But she looked. She looked. And when she looked, she saw it. See, but the look, the reason why it says she saw, see, because that look turned to lust. It wasn't the look that got her in trouble. It was the lust after what was there. I know I'm right. He said, because see, when it all, that's how bad decisions start. It start with a look. That's why you can't be looking at everything. Because that look may turn to lust. Now, if you're looking and you so constrained that you got the look, but you ain't got the lust, that's all right. If you're looking at the right thing. Well, that's the next thing too, looking at the right thing. But lust here, she looked and then she saw that what? It was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be what? Ah, see, the look, the lust, and the desire. But let me tell you something, folks. Every time you look, you lust, and you desire, you're going to make a decision. Oh, let me tell you, you don't act on it. Nobody wakes up early in the morning and says, you know, I think I'll go commit adultery today. They make a decision and then they act on it. And it's willful because adultery is something you got to plan. You got to plan it. What time? Where? Who with? A lot of decisions. And all those choices are reckless. But she did it. Don't tell me she's some little naive woman. I'm not listening to it. She has dominion over the earth. She knows that this is something in her will. But see, now I get a little bit, I can go back to the other question. What's the serpent doing here? And why is she talking to him? Because there is something that the serpent saw in Eve that he said, I can manipulate this. Because guess what? He may even heard a conversation. We don't know, speculation. You know, Adam, it would be nice to know what that tastes like. Or it would be nice to know what God knows. Are you sure we know everything that God knows? The serpent says, I tell you what, tomorrow over there in the garden, I'm going to make my play. And here we got her. Get back to my scripture. We got her looking, seeing, and that the tree is good for food, is good for the eye. So she took it and she did eat. Eve, I wish you hadn't have done that. I really, that's a bad decision. It's bad enough that you're hanging out in places you don't need to be. But now you're going to eat. You're going to do exactly what God said not to do. And the liberals, you know, you guys, you'll come up with excuses for, oh, well, maybe she didn't hear what the Lord told her. Right. Because I'm going to tell you why. To show you the kind of influence. She ate. She didn't say, ooh, that was good. She took it to Adam. And what? He did eat. And verse 7 shocks you. Verse 7 jumps right off the page at you. Oh, read verse 7 right quick.
And the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. And made themselves
aprons. Terry, would you go back to last week's lesson and read the last verse for me? The last verse, verse 25, I think it is. Last verse of chapter 2. I want y'all to see something. I want y'all to see something. They ate of the fruit. God says the moment that you eat that fruit, you're going to die. The death God's talking about is that you're going to be separated from me. I have nothing to do with you. No fellowship. See, what we're doing is risking relationships here. And many of the decisions that we make have to do with relationship. Terry, read it for me right quick.
They were both naked.
And they were what?
Both naked.
And what?
Man, wife.
Uh-huh. They were naked and they were not ashamed. Here, they eat of the fruit. Now, they were ashamed that they were naked. That was a bad decision. That was a reckless decision. And let me tell you something, folks. That's the way life is. There are decisions that you're making that are going to affect you for a very long time. Because choices have consequences. And yes, you're good now. You're in the church now. You know, we all say we don't drink no more skull. We don't snort no cocaine. You know, we ain't shooting up heroin. We ain't doing none of that stuff now. But guess what? It has consequences. Maybe some of the makes that you have in mind because, you know, instead of drinking three nights a week, you should have drank two.
Thinking this, you can get security if you want to, but I ain't.
But that ain't the worst part of that, Selma. The worst part of that verse is they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made them. They put on a Tarzan suit where in chapter 25, they weren't even. See, they were covered. Because what they did, sin makes you shameful. Sin makes you shameful. They've been in with God. They've got God qualities in them. They know that they've sinned and they're ashamed of it. And so what they're trying to do now, Sil, is they're trying to cover it up. Oh, that Adam and Eve, they're so bad. I don't know what's happening to them. Hey. Stop talking about Adam and Eve and talk about us and us. Because that's what we do. We cover up. We've covered up. You know, we think that clothes are so important and that, you know, we fight and we contest about how one looks and, you know, we worry about what group we belong to, you know. So what we do is we cover up so we can fit into this group over here. I want to go over and be with y'all. I think I'll put on black with you today, you know, so I can fit in. But see, you know what? You weren't made for that group. You need to come out of there. You need to undress. Because first of all, you're covering with the very material you should be covering. They had dominion. Leaves were never. I told y'all. See, they don't like it, Deacon Newsom, but I told them the leaves and the herbs, they were meant. They had a specific purpose, not for smoking or suddenly stitching up. But when you don't know the purpose of something, you will misuse it. And so we cover up. Come to church all covered up. Makeup made over. Covering up. Because we're ashamed. You know why? They, Nick, forgot who they were. They looked at each other and they didn't recognize each other. Something had happened. The one that you had just talked sweet nothings to laid your head on a pillow of leaves. Now you don't know her. She doesn't know you. And so you cover up because you're ashamed. But God, somebody say, but God. See, we make these foolish choices. We have to live with them. And we have to know that there are consequences. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden.
Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
I was going to leave y'all alone on this one, but I can't. I was going to go to the next one. Listen, look at this. Look what sin will make you do. It'll make you cover up, looking all foolish. As a matter of fact, I can't remember who it was, preached a sermon one time about the devil had you in stitches. And I realize what they're talking about now. They got you stitching up stuff. But also, the devil got you on the run. You a fugitive. Sin makes you a fugitive. You're ashamed. You can't come around. God's been coming in the cool of the day all this time, Terry. They heard his voice and they hid themselves. You're trying to hide from an omnipresent God? See, you're a fool, but sin makes you foolish. Sin will have you out there running from yourself. Oh, y'all don't know. Let me just share with y'all. Some of you young folk don't understand this, but if Mike Mitchell was here, I was up at a party. This is 50 years ago because it was for Vietnam. But it was 163rd in Prospect. I never will forget it. You know, that's the Bronx. And I lived in Brooklyn Key, you know. And in those days, people from the Bronx, they liked Brooklyn and vice versa. And I told Mike about it. Matter of fact, his mother's here and I shared it with her. Got up there, man, you're talking about the music flowing, everybody's acting gentlemanly and ladylike. Oh, we have a good time. Food, they were cooking, Tangeray was flowing. Good time. All of a sudden, somebody broke out and says, the brothers from Brooklyn are here. And they got to run, they cut the lights out. And Tony, whew, in those days, I'm in Flash Gordon, but I was so close, they caught me. I was gone. We was running, me and Terry. Me and Terry. And then we run, and we huffing and puffing, and Terry stopped. Why are we running? He said, we the only one from Brooklyn. We running from ourselves. But the devil will have you doing that. The devil will have you acting the fool. You're running from yourself. All right, y'all pray for me. Pray for me. Sin will make you a fugitive. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? See, because God will come, he'll confront also. He ain't going to come and say, oh, such a lovely day in the neighborhood. I just decided to stop by. God said, where are you, Adam? Listen to Adam. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You were naked, and you hid yourself from God who made you? He made you naked. I'm trying to figure out, Adam, can you come up with something better than this? Represent, man. Represent. And you were scared of the voice of God who you've heard all this time? Friendly voices? All this time? And it would be like, you know, you and Bud tight, been friends for years, and then all of a sudden Bud comes into church and you run. Oh, I heard Bud's voice and I was afraid. What? We had this great relationship all these years and you're afraid of me? Oh yeah, I was naked. Listen to God. And he said, no, verse 11. And I just want to read just one phrase there. And he said, who in the world told you were naked? You don't know nothing about naked. Who told you? Who told you were uncovered? Ah, let's go back to verse 7. Now, see, the issue is God had them so covered, they didn't even recognize their nakedness. But now that they've sinned and their eyes have been opened up to good and evil, we need to cover up with the wrong stuff.
See, that was so stupid. Y'all thought these fig leaves were going to stay around? Oh, not very fashionable. Only for a moment. God's going to change that. God said, no, I set the tone of how y'all dress, since y'all want to be dressed. God says, I covered you with what I wanted you by uncovering you. Since you've done this, I'll cover you with what I want to cover you with. Y'all better hear me. See, that's our issue. We don't want to stay under the covering of God. And then when we get in mistakes, we get scared based on our choices. We chose not to be covered. They were naked, and they chose to go find some leaves, stitch them together, and put on that Tarzan outfit. But God's question is not only for Adam and Eve. God's question is for everybody in this room. Who told you that? You ain't supposed to ever know anything about that. And then he goes on to say, "Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat?" And it's a rhetorical question, but the man answers. And you know what this guy says? Let me tell you something, folk. I don't even think I want to do no more line there. Y'all read this verse.
The man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I gave you."
Y'all would not believe me, Harry. They would not believe me when I told them that everything man needed was there from day one. You know how I know? The bus was there. Because he blew the whistle and he said, "Hey, come here, bus, because she needs to go up under." He threw this woman under the bus. Oh, he threw her under the bus so quick. Wait a minute, let me tell you one thing. Last week, this was his woman. This was bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I'll do anything for him. You got to be careful, ladies, who you buy into that. Because if Adam want to throw Eve under the bus, what kind of chance you got? But I'm telling you, hey, he blew the whistle. Right under the bus, this woman that you gave me. In other words, you gave it to me to complete me, but evidently it wasn't enough. The very problem that Eve had. I'm wise. I got dominion. But evidently, it's not enough. I need to eat of that tree. Adam does the same thing, because that's what happens. As a matter of fact, when you're not living for Christ, it's easy to throw your woman under the bus. It's easy to blame her for everything. If you hadn't given her to me. Now, I know guys, realize I've been married 46 years. There's some days. If I knew how to whistle, I called the bus. However, you can't throw her under the bus. You can't blame God, but that's what sin will do. Sin will make you so delusional that you would blame the perfect gift for what you've done. But if y'all would, I want to show you Eve. And the whole purpose is even doing this particular verse here is to show you God is a God of order and function. He gave them dominion. He said, the foolish decisions y'all gonna make, all of you gonna make them. Both you and her. I'm gonna show you I'm no respecter of a person. She is just as big a fool as you. Because you're going to make some choices. She done made. She bought you there. But you ain't. Because Adam, as a matter of fact, I'm telling you, if it would have been me and Adam and Dot and Eve, and Eve that bought that piece of fruit back there, and she would have said, "Yeah, me and Dot, we done ate this." I'd have looked at Dot. What color casket would you know? I ain't eating that. That's me now. That's what I'd have done. That's the decision I would have made.
Yeah, right. But listen to Eve. Listen to Eve. Read it and we can go.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
Okay. How many of you ladies, you know how to do this? Put your hand in your mouth and whistle. You don't know how to do it, do you? I'm talking about ladies. You don't know how to do it. You know why? Because she didn't throw him under the bus. So why not throw him under the bus? She didn't throw him under the bus. Ladies don't do that. They throw it. It ain't getting there. But what she does, she blames an outsider. See, many of you are caught in relationships, and you know what's wrong, but you're blaming somebody from the outside. You're blaming a past girlfriend. You're blaming your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, the deacon down at the church, you know, the people on the job. You know, they're the reason I act already. I'd be a better wife, but, you know, them people out there, they just crazy. They don't let me act right. Because sin will make you act that aberrant. Sin will have you blaming others for your choices. It's your choice, folks. It's your choice. You decide what to do. She decided to do that. The devil couldn't make Eve do anything because the Spirit of God was in Eve. The devil can't make you do nothing because the Spirit of God is in you. The devil can't make you quit talking about it. Don't go out there to Fort Sam or Randolph. See, because Randolph wouldn't do it, but I know you Fort Sam folk. You know, they'll go out there and come. Devil, they'll do it, Miss Randolph. I'm telling you, they'll do it. Hey, you know, the devil made me do this. The devil ain't made you do anything. What the devil will do will solicit the aid, because I just thought about something, a folk to help you make a fool out of yourself. But he won't make you do it. He can't make you. Because the word of God is clear. Greater is he that is in the world. I mean, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Devil don't control me, don't make me do nothing. When I do it, it's my own volition. So when I come before Judge Bud, and you say, Brother Sneed, did you do it? You know what I'm going to say? Your Honor, I throw myself on the mercy of the court. Because I ain't going to lie to you. Hey, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say, well, yeah, with me and Terry, you know, Terry just called me. No. It's on me. What I've tried to show you is the anatomy of a fall. The anatomy of a bad choice. How choices are formed. Things that drive us to them. And we use this, and it's quite comical most of the time, but I'm dead serious. Because those same forces are still in Resurrection Eden. The same thing the devil used to get Eve, he'll use to do it for you. Absolutely. Absolutely. He is not a friend of man because he's not a friend of God. However, you must be responsible for your choices. Because as we're going to see next week, choices have consequences. And deadly choices have deadly consequences. You can play around if you want to. You can, you know, tell your children it's cute to do this and it's cute to do that, but they'll be 30 years old thinking it's cute to do some things. And there's some things they can do in your house they can't do nowhere else. They will lose their life. They'll lose their possessions because they think they could act the way that they've been permitted. Over here, the choices that they made. And just because you make a great choice does not mean that your life will be spared from agony. You know why? Because you have people around you that make poor choices. It was a great choice when the two of them got married. But he made a choice to do something else. That affected you. She made a choice to do something else. That had deadly consequences for you. It causes you to have to make a choice that you never thought you would have to make. There's a choice that it puts you in a position that you may even look like a fool. But let me tell you what. Adam was wrong. But he was right. You know why? This is bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And the word of God would tell him later on that for this reason, a man will die. Whatever it takes, Adam, instead of calling the bus, he should have said, Lord, have mercy on us. Please, Lord, please don't do this to us. Please. Because Adam knew the soul that sinneth will die. Next week, we're going to see deadly consequences for disastrous decisions. All right?